Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we had been introduced to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. His shita was that if one shechts a korban, one slaughters a sacrifice with the intention of leaving the blood over till the next day, that will ruin the korban, and that is according to all opinions, all previous Tanaic sources or opinions that were cited on the Daf Yud Zayin, which was the subject of our previous shiur. So we today are picking up from that particular point, and you will notice 7 lines from the top of the Gemara, there is a long question marking that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. In the middle of the line, we pick up with the expression, V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda hold l'honiach midamo l'mochar divrei akol pasul? Is that really so? Before we go any further, let's just note to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a little arrow. This can be paralleled with an arrow that you see higher up on the first line. At that point, Rabbi Yehuda had said that regarding the machshava of l'honiach midamo, of leaving the blood, the intent of when slaughtering the sacrifice, the intention, the expressed intention is to leave the blood over to the next day, that all Tanoim would agree that is pasul. We are bringing that into question right now. This is accompanied by a nosei, a topic heading that we've included in the outside margin under our nosei topic heading, Birur Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. We are trying to clarify Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ha'im ve'emes li made, is it so that he really teaches the machshava l'haniach divrei hakol pasul? That according to all previous authorities, they would hold that the korban is rendered unfit because of such an expressed intent. Notice, as we mentioned earlier, that there is a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is a particularly long question, at the end of which there is a long answer marking. We're talking now at a point around a quarter of the way up from the bottom of the page. Also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a tuf that's encircled, which takes you to the Mishnah. So in effect, you have practically an Omid Gemara that is made up of a question and an answer. So the Gemara, after having raised the question, is it really so that Rabbi Yehuda holds that l'honiach midamo for the next day, everyone, the expression here, divrei hakol pasul, is what is of importance to us. Hence, we've dashed underlined the expression divrei hakol. We want to emphasize that this is the point. The issue surrounds, is it really so that everyone agrees, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the machshav l'aniach will ruin the korban according to all previous opinions. V'hotanya, we have the following source. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe tells us a story. Kishoholachti l'matzois midoisai etzel Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua. When I went to check out my knowledge of Torah, the expression lematzos midosai, Rashi says, leida mitzui talmudai v'lishol sveikosai, where I went to check out, to investigate my questions and my answers. So I was checking out my some aspects of my Torah learning I went to Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua. The Amri law, there's another version of lematzos midosav shel Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua. Now this is a different explanation. L'matzos midoisov, Rashi says, l'lameid v'l'matzos mash Rebbe Elazar chocha mimeni. I wanted to see in what areas he was wiser, smarter than me. So according to the first Lashon, Rebbe said he went to Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua to investigate his doubts, to raise questions and get answers from Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. According to the second Lashon, he went to Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua to find out how much he knew. Motsasi, Rebbe continues with his story and says, I found Yosef HaBavli Yoshev Lefonov, that Yosef HaBavli was seated in his presence. V'hoya choviv loy b'yoyser ad la'achas. And Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua loved Yosef HaBavli in a very special manner. Omar loy, Yosef HaBavli asked Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, Rebbe, ha'shoichei es hazevach loniach midomoy lemochor mahu. So Yosef HaBavli is asking Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, what is the halacha with regard to someone who slaughters an animal, a sacrifice, with the intention of leaving the blood, which is supposed to be sprinkled immediately on the Mizbeach, but he expresses an intention to leave it over till the next day? Omar loy, so Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua answers, kosher. It's okay. In other words, a machshava just to leave over does not ruin the korban. What kind of machshava would ruin a korban? What kind of expressed intent would ruin a korban? Where someone expresses his intention of sprinkling the blood the next day, that would create pigul. But to leave over the blood, that's okay. Arvis omar lo kosher. In the evening, he gave that response that the korban is okay. Shachris omar lo kosher. The next morning, he said the same response. Tzaraim omar lo kosher. And then at noontime, he said that the korban is kosher. Apparently, they were involved with clarifying this particular issue all day. It came to the next late afternoon. Mincha omar lo kosher. Elo shereb Eliezer posel. At this point, Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua says, listen, it's basically kosher. However, there is an opinion, Rebbe Elazar, that says that a machshava lehinuach is pasul. Tzohavu ponov shel Yosef HaBavli. Yosef HaBavli's face lit up. Omar loy, Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua apparently, upon noticing the joy on the face of Yosef HaBavli, so Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua asks him, Omar loy, he says, Yosef, kimedumani shelo kivanenu shmuasenu ad ota, that until this moment we haven't been accurate in our teaching, in our learning. Amalo hein, Rebbe hein, he says, Yosef says, no, he says, of course we've been accurate till now. Elo, but I'll tell you why I'm showing an expression of joy just now. So Yosef HaBavli comes and tells him the background to his expression of happiness. Elo sherebi Yehuda posel shana li. Yosef HaBavli tells Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua that I was once by Rebbe Yehuda, and I raised this issue of a machshava lahinuach, lahaniach midomo lamochar, and Rebbe Yehuda taught me posel. Posel shana li. Shana li means he taught me that. Well, after I heard that from Rebbe Yehuda, the chazarti al kol tamidov uvikashti li chover velo motzasi. I went and checked out amongst his students. Apparently, there was some kind of time passage, and Yosef HaBavli thought that maybe he forgot what Rebbe Yehuda had taught him. And I sought out from all the students some type of affirmation that Rebbe Yehuda holds that a machshava lahinuach is pasul, and I tried to find someone that would confirm that, and that's what he says. Uvikashti lichover, I sought out a confirmation v'lo motzasi, and I couldn't find any such confirmation. So that up till now, I had this memory of Rebbe Yehuda teaching pasul. I couldn't find anyone that would say that a machshava lahinuach would result in psul, in the korban becoming unfit. Achshav shishoni sali posel, now that you, Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, are teaching me this idea of posel. This was taught by Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua just a few lines up, where you notice the dashed underline where he had said kosher elosh Rebbe Elazar posel. So now I finally hear another expression of posel on this very topic. Hichzarta li avedosi. And through that, you are returning to me my lost article. The lost article being the teaching of Rabbi Huda that a machshava lo niach results in psul. Zolgu einav demosh Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua. Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua started to shed tears of joy. Omar Ashrechem Talmidei Chachamim Shedivrei Torah Chavivim Aleichem Biyoser. Fortunate are you, Talmidei Chachamim, that the words of Torah are so beloved to you. We see how Yosef HaBavli was so preoccupied with finding someone that would indicate that L'machshav L'niach is possible, he finally heard Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua express such an idea, albeit in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, not necessarily the Chol HaDeos, and yet this served as a source of great joy to Yosef HaBavli. So we see how Yosef HaBavli takes how serious and how much importance he assigns to his Torah learning. Kora Olav HaMikra Zeh, Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua referred the following pasuk to Yosef HaBavli, Ma Ahavti Torasecha Kol Yom Hisichasi. How beloved are your teaching of Torah, the words of Torah, that all day I engage in discussion concerning it. Homitnei Shir Yehuda Beno Shel Rebeloi. There is an arrow that is, you see, to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. This is to create an association between the Rebbe Yehuda that was mentioned earlier, where his name is underlined, where Rebbe Yehuda had mentioned posel. So it's pointed out here that which Rebbe Yehuda taught posel, mitnesh Rebbe Yehuda beno shel Rebeloi, veRebeloi talmido shel Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Yehuda was the son of Rebeloi. He's known as Rebbe Yehuda Rebeloi in many places in the Shas. And Rebeloi, the father of Rebbe Yehuda, was a student of Rebbe Eliezer. Lefikach shona loch mishnas Rebbe Eliezer. And that's why Rebbe Yehuda taught the teaching of Rebbe Eliezer. So it seems from here that Rebbe Yehuda mentioned the teaching of Rebbe Eliezer, not because that is the halacha and that everyone would agree with that, but rather he had a certain type of sentimental attachment to a teaching of Rebbe Eliezer. And therefore, when Rebbe Yehuda taught posel, he taught it simply to reflect the lone opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Now, with all that having been said, we now come to the point of the question. V'in salka daitoch divrei hakol posel asnei. If one were to think that Rabbi Yehuda taught, when he taught Yosef HaBavli posel, that he said, you should know, everyone holds its posel. Why is it then that when Yosef HaBavli heard Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua saying over posel, why did Yosef HaBavli say, Hichzarta li avedosi? Oh, you've returned to me that which was lost. But they're not one in the same. Ihu plukta ko'omar lei. Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua mentioned that the idea of posel was actually a machloikis. And this you can see from the dashed underlining that we have above. The first dashed underline, I should point out the diagonal dashed underlining. You see the expression kosher, elo Rebbe Lozer posel. That's what Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua taught. He said that the issue of posel is a machlokes. If that were the case, then why upon hearing that did Yosef HaBavli say, oh, you have just returned to me that which I was looking for? In other words, I was looking for someone that would say the same thing as Rebbe Yehuda. So if you say that Rebbe Yehuda also taught that it was a machlokes, then I can understand Yosef HaBavli's joy upon hearing Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua say the same thing. However, if, as was claimed at the top of the Omid of our Gemara, and at the beginning of this long question that Rebbe Yehuda taught, that the machshava lahaniach is possible according to all opinions, that does not match that which Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua had taught Yosef HaBavli, and therefore there should really be no reason for the joy of Yosef HaBavli upon hearing that which Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua taught. That is the question. So we see at this point it would most likely be that when Rabbi Yehuda said Lahaniach is pasul, he did not say Ledivrei HaKoil. The Gemara now responds. The response itself takes a few lines to develop. Elomai, so what do you want to say, you who are raising the question? Kosher Verbi Eliezer Posel Asne? Are you suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda taught it was a machlokes? If that's what Rabbi Yehuda was teaching, then the end of this Tanaic source doesn't make sense. My ha mipnei. What is the meaning of that which appears at the end of the source? The expression ha mipnei. Let us take a look at the Rashi to explain what's the underlying point. Elomai Asne Rabbi Yehuda. So what did Rabbi Yehuda teach, according to you who are raising the question? Kosher L'Rabbonon Rabbi Eliezer Posel. Is that what you claim he taught? Im Kain Mai Ho Mipnei. This was the expression that we saw at the end of the Tanaic source, and you can see that we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which suggests to connect that with where you see the star previously, and you see where this term is coming from. So what is meant by that? The expression ha mitnei demashma bipnei shechaviva olov shon'o, that it's because he had a sentimental attachment, that namely he, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, had a sentimental attachment to that, veloi shaloha kain, and velo shaloha kain he, and not that the halacha is really like that. Well, ho anan nami divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua plukto masnino on the Rabbi Yehuda. But we, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua himself, said the same thing. So the expression of ha mipnei, which indicates that this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda was done only because of sentimental reasons and not because of what we hold above, specifically Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, why is this, if you are saying, according to your question, that Rabbi Yehuda taught that it's a machlokes, well, that's exactly what Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua taught above. So there would be no reason for this final expression in the Brice of simply saying ha mipnei. Elo li'olam divrei hakol posel asnei. Rather, like we said at the very top, that Rabbi Yehuda in fact taught that the machshava lahaniach is posel according to all opinions. In other words, everyone would agree in the mind of Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Eliezer. Well, if that's the case, umay hechzarto li avidosi. So then, if in fact Rabbi Yehuda's teaching is not exactly the same as Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua's teaching, why was Yosef HaBavli so happy when he heard Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua teaching something that didn't match Rabbi Yehuda's original teaching? That Gemara answers, still there is room for joy. The hodar le miho shum paslus ba'olam. At least there is some mention of an opinion that holds psul. Namely, Yosef HaBavli, after his initial exposure to Rabbi Yehuda, who had said posel, and at this point we're going to tell you it means posel lechol hadeos, according to all opinions. If you'll ask, why was he so happy when he heard Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua say that it's kosher, but Rabbi Eliezer holds posel. The answer to that is because after hearing from Rabbi Yehuda posel, he never heard anyone else that said posel. This is the first time that he's hearing at least some reference to psul. True, it's not exactly the same thing that he heard from Rabbi Yehuda, but at least it's reminiscent of something that he heard from Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the reason for his joy. The Mishnah. Lo Yotzak. This Mishnah has a list of activities, the end of which, if none of these were done, the Mishnah says that the mincha, the meal offering, is nevertheless kosher. Lo Yotzak. This is a reference to the pouring of the oil, and it's, as Rashi says, it's the Yitzika Achrona. In the mincha preparation, there was a lug shemen, where there was a luk shemen that's brought together with the mincha. There's an initial pouring of shemen into a bowl, and on that the flour is poured, and it's mixed together. It's called blila, and then after that mixing, there's additional oil that's poured on. That's called the yitzika achrona. So the Mishnah is saying that if that second yitzika, that second pouring after the mixing of the initial oil and flour takes place, if this final yitzika was not done, you'll see later in the Mishnah that it's kosher. It's still okay. Lo bolal, if it wasn't mixed. And the Rashi explains the case is that all the entire lug was poured in initially, and then the flour was added, and the mincha was not mixed. The flour was not mixed with the oil. Lo velo posas. Posas is a reference to, we'll see in the Gemara, menachos, meal offerings that were baked. After they were baked into loaves, there was an expectation that they would be, the loaves would be broken into pieces. And the ideal way of processing such a mincha is that all of the loaves are broken into pieces. The Mishnah here is describing a situation where he didn't break all of the loaves, he simply broke an amount that would be sufficient for the taking of the handful. Velo molach. He didn't add the salt, velohen, if he didn't do a waving. The waving is something that's expected to be done, Rashi points out, in the case of a minchas ha'omer and a minchas knos. The minchas ha'omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan, in order to matir the chodesh, to enable the new grains of that season to be eaten. And minchas knos is a reference to the soto woman, the woman suspected of immorality. She brings a barley-based meal offering, and there is a waving process that takes place. Now, if that was not done, lo hegish, the mincha was not brought to the corner of the mizbeach. The southwestern corner of the mizbeach was a point at which the mincha was expected to be brought to. If that wasn't done, oy sheposeson pisim rubois, velo moshchon kshera, or he made pieces of psisos merubos. This will be explained by the Gemara. If he did not, or if he did that, he did this posis and pisim merubos. Velo moshchon, there are minochas that require a smearing of oil, and if that was not done, kshera. So we see that all of these different activities that we just explained, if they were not done, the mincha is nevertheless still acceptable. My lo yotzak. The expression lo yotzak was found at the beginning of the Mishnah. What is meant by lo yotzak, that it was not done? Before we go further, let's just note the topic heading. At the outside margin, the nosei, Pirush Prote HaMishnah. The Gemara at this point will be involved in explaining details of the Mishnah, specifically Lo Yotzak and Lo Bolal. My Lo Yotzak. What is meant by that? What is the intention of the Mishnah? Ilema. What we've done with our markings, we squiggle under line here the Ilema and the next line Ella to give you a sense of the stages of analysis. So, Ilema lo yotzak klal, if you'll say that the Yitzika was not done at all, Well, ikuva ksiv ba. The Torah makes a reference to the fact that this is binding. Ikuva means an action that's binding. Rashi gives two possible sources for where in the Torah you see that it is necessary and cannot be skipped. So the expression of lo yotzak cannot mean that it was not done at all. Ela, lo yotzak kohen elazar. It means that a kohen did not do it, but rather a non-kohen did it. Question. Now, this is a long question. As you can see, we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line that takes you down the top of the next page, around five lines down from the top. All of this material constitutes the question. So if you're going to explain lo yotzak means that it was not done by a kohen, so ihochi lo bolal nami, then you'll, by virtue of the fact that it's in the same Mishnah, we would expect it to have the same license. So by that token, it would then come out that lo bolal nami lo bolal kohen elozar, that the blila, the mixing, was not done by a kohen but done by a zar. In other words, the blila needs to be done, the mixing of the oil with the flour needs to be done, but if it's not done by a kohen, it's okay. But this would lead us to infer ho lo bolal klal psula. But are you telling me, are you suggesting to me that if no mixing was done whatsoever, the mincha would be ruined? We know that's not so. V'hatnan, we have the following teaching, the following Tanaic source: shishim nivlolin, shishim v'echod ein nivlolin. 60 isoron of flour, this is the name of a measure, 60 esronim of flour, can be mixed with a lug, is a liquid measure of oil. 61 isoron, ein nivlolin, will not be able to be mixed with one lug of oil. Vehavinon ba, and we ask, ki einum nivlolin mai have? The fact that 61 cannot be mixed, so what? Why should that be something that would ruin a mincha? V'hotnan, lo bolal kshera. We have another teaching that says, if the mixing, we saw that in our Mishnah, that if the mixing was not done, it's okay. So why should there be any problem in bringing a mincha that has 61 isaron with a lug? V'omar Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera explains why 61 is a problem when 60 would not be a problem. Rabbi Zera explains, and this is a very well-known halacha that's applied in many, many different places in the Shas. He says as follows, Kol haroi lebila, ein bila ma'keves boi. An amount of flour that in theory could be mixed, when we talk about mixed, we mean that the oil would come into contact with every grain of flour. So there's a certain ratio or maximum amount of, let's say maximum gap, where maximum amount of flour, and still, if you were to mix it, the oil would come into contact with all of the dry material, all of the flour. And if you have that ratio and not beyond it, not more than that, then you don't really need to do the mixing. However, v'chol she'eino roi lebila, something that in theory could not even be mixed, and that's the case with 61 isaron to one lug of oil, the amount of dry material is so overwhelming that the one lug of oil would not come into contact with all of the flour. So in such a case, since in theory it could not be mixed, bila ma'keves bo, then we say that the need for the mixing is binding, and since it cannot be accomplished, such a mincha would be unfit. For our purposes, though, we want to emphasize the main point. Rabbi Zera, in commenting on our Mishnah, and let's say this whole issue of the Belila, Rabbi Zera says, if something is fit in theory for a uniform mixture, when we say uniform mixture, we mean by that that there would be an option or an opportunity for the oil to come into contact with all of the flour. When you have a situation like that, then you do not have to have any mixing whatsoever. So to go over the problem, on Omen Aleph we said at the bottom that Lo Yotzak means that a Kohen didn't do it, but a Zar did do it. That's okay. However, you've got to have Yitzika. You've got to have this pouring of oil. By the same token then, the Lo Bolal will have to mean that a Kohen doesn't do it, but a Zar does do it. But likewise, you've got to have the Blila. But we see over here, Rabbi Zera is saying, you don't have to have the Blila. The Gemara answers, Midi Irya, is that necessarily the way the Mishnah is speaking? In other words, by the fact that I explained Lo Yotzak means Yitzika has to be done, just it doesn't have to be done by a Zar, that doesn't necessarily force me to say the same thing when I come to explain Lo Bolal. The explanation for Lo Bolal can be different. Namely, Lo Bolal can mean he didn't do Blila at all. A different explanation, and still be kosher, which is of course a different method of explaining than we did for the first phrase of Lo Yotzak. So let us now see this in the Gemara. Midi Irya, ha kidi'isa, the ha kidi'isa. The Gemara itself explains, but this expression, this as it is, and this as it is, namely, Lo Yotzak equals, the explanation of the Mishnah, Lo Yotzak means Lo Yotzak Kohen Elazar. The Kohen didn't do it. It's still kosher, provided a Zar did do it. Lo Bolal, and the expression of the Mishnah says Lo Bolal is kosher, that means Lo Bolal Klal, he didn't do any mixing whatsoever, and still the Mincha is kosher. So you can see the way we approach Lo Yotzak is different than the way we approach the Lo Bolal, and that doesn't pose any difficulty to us because you're dealing with two separate activities. Oshe Posesa Pisa Merubois Kshera. The end of the Mishnah taught that if he broke it into big pieces, it is kosher. The Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah have to teach me the end when that should have been obvious from that which was taught in the Reisha at the beginning? Hashto lo posas klal kshera. You taught in the Reisha that if no psisa, no breaking up of the baked meal offering, no breaking posas, no breaking whatsoever, and that's okay, even though there was an expectation of splitting the loaves into subdivisions, into pieces. But nevertheless, the Mishnah taught in the Reisha that if that was not done at all, it's kosher. Pisin merubos mibaya. If he did do the breaking up, he simply didn't go as, he didn't break it into small enough pieces as the halacha dictates, well, that's certainly better. At least he did some breaking. Let's go over the point again. If no breaking is okay, some breaking certainly should be okay. The Gemara has two approaches. Number one, my pisim rubos. What is meant by that expression which was in the end of the Mishnah? It doesn't mean that he broke it into large pieces. Rather, sheriba b'psisin. He overbroke, meaning he broke the baked loaves into pieces much smaller than the halacha expects. He kept breaking and maybe made it back into a almost crumbs, if you will, which is too small. Even that is kosher. That would be the chiddush of the seifa. The iboy esema li'olam pisim merubos mamish. The seifa is saying that he did do breaking, but didn't break it enough, leaving pieces that were too big. We asked, if no breaking is okay, then some breaking certainly should be okay. That is not so. Umahu detema. without the seifa, I would have thought, Hosam hu de'iko toiras chalois aleim, in the ratio where he didn't do any breaking, at least he left the original identity of the loaves intact. They were baked as chalos, as loaves, and they remain as such. Aval hocho, but in the seifa where he broke them into halves, let's say, which is not sufficient. It's not enough. Delo toiras chalois iko, velo toiras psisin iko. It's not here nor there. By simply taking a loaf and splitting it in half, you're ruining the original identity of it. It's no longer a loaf. On the other hand, it's not quite psisin, because psisin is a situation where it's broken into, let us say, quarters. And if he didn't break it into quarters, for illustration purposes, so it's not psisin either. So he hasn't accomplished, he's ruined the original identity, has not achieved the final identity. So I might have thought that that is actually the worst case. Komash Malon, the Seifa of the Mishnah, teaches me that even that is acceptable. We have at this point a slash mark, which indicates that that which follows is a new idea. Before we go further, let's take a look at the Nosei Mivne heading that we have in the outside margin. So you see we feature there a triangle, and also indicate Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track, because in this sukya you'll see that the triangle repositions itself with its point facing down at a later point in the discussion. The triangle with the point facing up represents a she'ela or kushya, a question of interest, a simple question, not raising of a difficulty, or, we'll see later, the raising of a difficulty. Leimo masnisin, the Gemara will suggest that should we say that our Mishnah, demachshu yitzika bazar, which allows the pouring of the oil by a non-Kohen, the lo k'Rabbi Shimon, that our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Shimon, shemakbid al kahuna biyitzika. Rabbi Shimon's opinion, we will see presented a little bit later in the Gemara, he seems to insist on kahuna for yitzika, for the pouring of the oil. The triangle then will flip over with the point facing down, tshuva. This is a response to the question, a nisayon, an attempt, lahamid mishnosenu namik Rabbi Shimon, to establish our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon as well. However, as you go on in the Gemara, if you skim down with the markings, you'll note that this inverted triangle doesn't represent the final word on the issue, because further down the Gemara, you'll notice a triangle with its point facing up, where Rava enters the picture, and that will take us to the end of this discussion, where the original issue of our Mishnah not being like Rabbi Shimon is reintroduced. So now, the Gemara. We should note, before reading the Gemara, that to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a shin that's encircled, a she'ela, a long question. Leimo masnisin delo k'Rabbi Shimon. Should we suggest, or should we establish, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon? Our Mishnah is machshir yitzika bazar, that allows the pouring of the oil by a non-Kohen. That does not seem to conform to Rabbi Shimon, whom we will see momentarily, insists on a Kohen doing the yitzika. Desanya. The source begins, you can see the frame source, as we do in all of our Gemara markings, we frame off Tanaic sources so as to set them apart from the Gemara, from the Amoraic literature. So the Brisa says, Desanya Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Kol Kohen Sheina Moide Ba'avoida, any Kohen who does not acknowledge the significance of the sacrificial activity in the Beis HaMikdash, Ein lo chelek bakohuna. He does not deserve a portion amongst the kohanim. Shinemar, hamakriv es dam hashlomim ves chelev im ne'aron lo tiye shokayamin lemona. That is the pasuk. The pasuk says that the one who offers the blood of the sacrifices and the innards from the Bnei Aaron, he deserves a portion. And the explanation of this is, he who concedes, acknowledges the significance of the different sacrificial activities, he deserves a portion of the kahuna. And in this context, we're talking about the sacrificial portions, the meat and menochas that kohanim get as part of their service in the Beis HaMikdash. So that if someone acknowledges it, he deserves a portion sacrificial offerings. She'eno moideh, someone who does not acknowledge the significance of the avodas hamikdash, she'eno moideh ba'avoda, ein lo chelek bekuhuna. The ein li elo zu bilvad, I know only this. The pasuk mentioned hamakriv dam hashlomim, that has to do with the blood activity. What about other sacrificial activities that take place? And this Tanakh source goes on to list 15 different activities that Kohanim are expected to do. How do we know that in order to receive portions of sacrificial offerings, a Kohen must acknowledge all of these as being important and significant? The main point of this brisa so far, or will be what we are will have, what we have marked off with a dashed underline. So take note of that as we go on. The Ein Li Ela, we'll go over that line again. The Ein Li Ela Zu Bilvad. I would only know if I had this pasuk, only the issue of the offering of the blood to the mizbeach, that a Kohen must acknowledge its significance. Minayin the rabbis tesvav avodos, from where do I know that we expect the Kohen to acknowledge the significance of 15 other activities, and they include hayitzikos, vablilois, vapsisois, vamlichois, vatnufois, valgoshois, vakamitzos, etc. We'll go over these again. Let's start from number one. Hayitzikos. Notice, this we've dashed underline because this is of utmost significance for our discussion. Don't forget, this is a source beginning that began with Rabbi Shimon. He is the speaker here. So Rabbi Shimon is saying that, from where do we know that we expect the Kohen to acknowledge the significance of Yitzikos? It seems from here that the Kohen is the one who is expected to do this. And that's what we're presenting as Shitas Rabbi Shimon. In addition to acknowledging Yitzikos, there's Blilos, the mixing of meal offerings with their oil. Vapsisos, the breaking of the baked mincha offerings into pieces. Vamlichos, the salting. Vatnufos, the waving. Vagoshos, the drawing near, the bringing of the mincha to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. Vakamitzos, the taking of the handful. Vahaktoros, the burning on the altar. Vamlichos, this has to do with bird offerings and their method of slaughtering through the insertion of the Kohen's thumb fingernail, the Hakabolos, the receipt of the blood, the Hazos, the blood sprinklings, the Hashkoas Soto, the drinking of the Soto, where in the issue concerning the suspicious woman of woman suspected of immorality, she drinks water with a mixture of dirt in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. The Arifas Egla, this is a situation where a body is found, a murder victim is found between two cities. The closer of the two cities does this ceremony where they bring a calf whose neck is broken. The Taras Mitzora, the process of enabling a mitzora to become purified, unasios kapayim be'mefim be'mechutz, and the Kohen blessing, the birkas kohanim, the duchenin that kohanim do whether in the Beis HaMikdash, that's b'mefim, or outside the Beis HaMikdash, minayin, from where do we know that a Kohen must acknowledge the significance of all of these in order to deserve a portion of sacrificial offerings? Tamud lomar mibnei aharoin, that was in the pasuk. Avoda hamasura l'vnei Aaron, the actions or activities that are given over to B'nai Aaron. And notice we've dashed underline this because really, this is the most important point, to connect this expression with the word yitzikos we saw before. So yitzikos are included in that which is misuro levnei Aaron, is an activity entrusted to kohanim. Any Kohen who does not acknowledge the significance of these activities, he does not deserve a portion of kahuna. For our purposes, just to simplify things, we see Rabbi Shimon holding yitzika must be done by kohanim. In learning our Mishnah, we suggested that yitzika does not have to be done by kohanim. So it would seem that our Mishnah does not match Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rav Nachman, notice the triangle just flipped over. This is an attempt to respond to the question. Rav Nachman says, Lo Kashya. There really is no discrepancy between our Mishnah and Shitas Rabbi Shimon. It all depends. Kan b'minchas kohanim, kan b'minchas Yisrael. And the Gemara will explain this answer in a minute. Before we get to the answer, we must take note of the new markings. We see Rav Nachman appearing in a diamond. This is explained in the outside margin. In this Gemara, we will see two versions of Rav Nachman. One here, and an Ika D'Amri that you see on the third wide line, a second version. And to indicate the fact that there are two versions, we've also noted a little Aleph and Beis to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in diamonds. There will be two versions as to what Rav Nachman's response is to this issue. And we've also double underlined the expression lo kashya. This is the attempt of Rav Nachman to resolve our Mishnah with Shitas Rabbi Shimon. A little bit later in the Gemara, when we get to the bracketed section, namely the second Lashon of Rav Nachman that we've noted in brackets, the point of the brackets, or the purpose, is to, in when we learn the Gemara initially, we will want to skip that bracketed section in order to connect the phrase that appears right after the brackets, which in effect is a completion or the end of Rava's point here. So when we get to that section, don't be surprised if we skip that bracketed section initially, to enable the reading to go smoothly. The length of the brackets, we will also note with a bracket length indicator, which is a vertical dash dotted line that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, beginning on the third wide line of the Gemara. Let's now turn back to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is coming to respond to our suggestion that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman says, we can resolve our Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon. And he says, it depends if it's a Minchas Kehanim or if it's a Minchas Yisrael. And the Gemara itself explains. We've squiggle underlined the expressions Minchas Yisrael and Minchas Kehanim so that you can focus on each one. Minchas Yisrael, debas kemitzahi. When a non-Kohen brings a Mincha, what happens is that the flour is brought in a bowl, together, of course, with the oil that we mentioned earlier, and a handful is taken from the bowl. The Kohen takes a handful and burns that on the Mizbeach. That's the Kemitza. When it comes to a Kohen who brings a Korban Mincha, no Kemitza is taken. In fact, the entire bowl of a meal offering, in the case of a Kohen Mincha, is burnt on the Mizbeach. So when it comes to a Minchas Yisrael, debas kemitzahi, that is subject to the kemitza process, the handful taking, mi kemitza v'eilech mitzvas kahuna, from the taking of the handful onwards, that is where a Kohen must be involved. We made al yitzika ublila, this sheds light or teaches us concerning stages of mincha processing that precede the kemitza, namely the yitzika and the blila, the pouring of the oil and the mixing, shiksheira bizar. However, minchas kohanim, the mincha brought by a kohen, the lav bas kemitza hi, this is a type of meal offering that does not have a handful taken from it, meikora bayakuna, from its first stages, it requires the Kohen to be involved. Because there's no other focal point, let us say, in which a Kohen can enter the picture, because there is no Kemitza stage, the idea here is that the Kohen must process it from the very beginning. Omar le Rava. Rava responds. We've indicated that Rava's response takes a number of lines to develop, and we've indicated this to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see that Rava appears in a little triangle with a vertical dashed line. This marking includes the bracketed section, but the reason for that is because that which appears right after the brackets, in effect, is the conclusion of Rava's comment. So, as we said earlier, we will skip the bracketed section initially so as to give a sense of completion with regard to Rava's answer. Omar le Rava. Rava responds to Rav Nachman's resolution and says, Michti, Minchas Kohanim Meheicho Is Rabbi Liyitzika. From where do you know that the Minchas Kohanim has a pouring of oil to begin with? Mi Minchas Yisrael, the idea of Yitzika by a Minchas Kohen, by a Kohen meal offering, is learned from a Minchas Yisrael. Ma Hosam Ksheira Bazar, just like by the Minchas Yisrael, the pouring of the oil is acceptable if done by a non-Kohen. Af Hochonami Ksheira Bazar, so too by a Minchas Kohanim, the Yitzika would be acceptable if done by a non-Kohen. So, to suggest that Rabbi Shimon said that you must have a Kohen for the Yitzika, that would not jive with this alignment of Minchas. Let's restate this point. Rav Nachman attempted to make a distinction between a Minchas Yisrael and a Minchas Kohanim. Rava is saying that there is no grounds for making this distinction. So whatever applies to one will apply to the other. And if that be the case, our Mishnah that talks about Yitzika being kosher be'zar, that is not going to be limited to a Minchas Yisrael. That is going to include a Minchas Kohanim as well. And we know, on the other hand, that Rabbi Shimon is insistent on a Kohen doing the Yitzika. Elo, skipping the bracketed section, the Gemara goes on, it says, Elo machvarto masnisen delok Rabbi Shimon. It's more likely to say that our Mishnah simply does not conform to Rabbi Shimon. In other words, our Mishnah that says Yitzika is kosher bazar, that is going to apply across the boards, because there really is no grounds for making a distinction. Just like Minchas Yisrael is kosher to have the Yitzika done by a Zar, and a Minchas Kohanim, which is derived from a Minchas Yisrael, its Yitzika too must be the same, namely kosher bazar. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says Yitzika cannot be done by a Zar. Fine. Our Mishnah then is not like Rabbi Shimon. Turning now to the bracketed section. Ika di'amri. There are those that say that Rav Nachman's response was as follows. Omar Rav Nachman, lo itashya. We don't have to say that our Mishnah cannot agree with Rabbi Shimon. Kan b'nikmotzos, kan b'she'en nikmotzos. It depends. In a mincha that has a handful taken from it, those are the nikmatzos, there a zar is able to do the yitzika. Kan b'she'ein nikmatzos, in those kinds of meal offerings that don't have handfuls taken from them. This will include, by the way, not only a Minchas Kohen, but the Rashi says it will include the Minchas Nesachim. These are menachos that are brought as accompaniments to animal offerings. They too are completely burnt on the Mizbeach. They don't have a Kemitza taken from them. So those are the Ein Nikmatzos. Those, the Yitzika must be done by a Kohen. So according to Rav Nachman, our Mishnah that says Yitzika can be done by a Zar, that's talking about the Nikmatzos. And Rabbi Shimon would agree with that. Omar Le Rava. Rava responds to Rav Nachman once again, very similar to what we saw before, and says, you, Rav Nachman, are trying to make a distinction between two kinds of mincha. Rava says, Michti, let's look into this. She'ein nikmatzos, those kind of menachas that don't have handfuls taken from them. Mehecha isravi liyitzika, from where do you know that they have yitzika done in the first place? Me nikmatzos. I learn their need for yitzika from those kinds of menachos that do have handfuls taken from them. If that be the case, then ke nikmatzos. The ein nikmatzos must be parallel to the nikmatzos. Ma hosam, just like by the nikmatzos ksheira bazar, the yitzika can be done by a non-kohen. Af hochonami, so to hear by the ein nikmatzos ksheira bazar, a non-kohen will be acceptable. So we see from Rava that, unlike Rav Nachman, you can't make a distinction between nikmatzos and ein nikmatzos. And therefore, when our Mishnah says that yitzika is ksheira bazar by nikmatzos, it's ksheira bazar by the non-nikmatzos as well. Elo machvarto masnisen delo krebi shimon. It therefore remains that our Mishnah is most likely not like Rebbe Shimon, who was insisting on a Kohen doing the Yitzika. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.